Funding for WPLN News comes from you, our listeners, and Bernstein Private Wealth, working with creators and innovators to invest with intention and build the legacy they want to leave behind. More at Bernstein.com.
I'm LaTanya Turner, and this is Nashville. I'm filling in for host Khalil Ekalona along with some other folks during the next few weeks as Khalil takes a sabbatical, but he'll be back soon. This hour, we're observing the anniversary of the Covenant School tragedy, not just with remembrances, but through forward-looking conversations with those who were motivated to take action and try to end mass shootings. To start us off here in the studio are documentary producers who've been traveling the country to dive deep into stories about the impact and solutions to end the gun crisis. David Green, former host of NPR's All Things Considered and now host of Left, Right, and Center, and Ketch Secor, a musician and frontman for the group Old Crow Medicine Show. Thanks, you all, for being here.
Hey, Nashville.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And welcome to This is Nashville. Ketch, let's start with you. After the Covenant massacre, you said you hope to travel the country and hold some raw conversations with people on all sides of the gun debate. And David joined you in the mission. How did the two of you connect?
Well, we met through this wonderful national public radio world. David has been my friend for about 10 years, and he's one of my favorite radio personalities. And our listeners all across Nashville will hear his voice, and they'll all remember listening to him on Morning Edition and so many of his wonderful broadcasts.
Yes, we do. Part of the family.
I'm a big fan of his, and he reached out to me after the Covenant shooting 1 year ago. I had an article come out in the New York Times in the op-ed section suggesting that perhaps Nashville was uniquely poised to offer a countermeasure to these types of activities, these types of crimes and tragedies, that our city had with its history in the civil rights movement, with its many churches, with its being a blue dot in a red sea or a purple place, with its history of civil disobedience, that we might be a place to put the last nail in the coffin. And David thought that that was an interesting story, and we embarked.
So you all already knew each other, but who came up with the idea of let's travel the country and collect these conversations?
Well, I think it was really mutual. I mean, I had known Ketch for, you know, as he said, a long time, and was always a fan, and felt, you know, so lucky to call you a friend, Ketch. And you know, I just think that he has this way of capturing moments as a songwriter and a poet. You know, when I was at Morning Edition during the really hard COVID days, we collaborated with Ketch and his band Old Crow Medicine Show, and they produced a song called "Pray for America" that we debuted on Morning Edition, and it just helped me, and I think so many people process a moment. And mm-hmm. So when he wrote that piece in the New York Times and wrote about how painful it was for Nashville to go through what you all went through a year ago, and he said as a country musician he feels like he has an opportunity to bring people together, fans of his who are on all different sides of the debate over guns, and have real meaningful conversations. You know, he had this idea. I called and said, you know, I want to help in any way I can, because this is the kind of thing that I do. And, you know, we decided to go for it together. Ketch, I remember you said, like, David, if you think we can start a movement, let's do it. And, you know, Doug Pray, an amazing filmmaker who, you know, I had known for a while, you know, we called him up, and this just all came together. And we hope we're doing something that in some small way can do something meaningful.
Well, it certainly seems like the perfect pairing. And having seen the trailer, I think this is going to have a huge impact. It's quite compelling. For people who haven't seen any parts of this documentary, give us a description of what it's like. It's very real and raw from what I can tell. So tell us a little bit about what the format is, what's included, who's in it.
Well, most folks who know my music know I'm a traveling music maker, and I play a lot of concerts. So we started filming in the towns where I'd be performing. And ahead of the show, we'd advance the date by coming into town and visiting people all across the city. We'd visit with police officers, and we'd go into gun shops, and we'd go to churches, and we'd set up around a round table at a barbecue place, and we'd all talk. We'd be talking with teachers and educators, and we'd be talking with victims and advocates and gun rights enthusiasts and Second Amendment believers, and all bring them in together. And then we filmed all that, and we did this in about 5 different states. We did it in inner city Chicago. We did it out in the West in Montana. And everywhere we traveled, we learned so much about the different sides of the debate, the many kinds of voices. We talked to people, tribal elders, for example. Wow. Have a unique perspective on hunting and what and the gift that the firearm has been, at least for the Kootenai tribe in Montana. So it seemed that everybody had something unique to share with us.
Yeah, but it was just centered it, just to clarify, around your concert tour locations, but you brought these people from the communities there. These were just voices from the communities.
Yeah, we tacked it on to the gigs, you know, because I got my schedule figured out and I got to go to all these places. So we might as well try and do this gun reform advocacy work and unity building right while we're already in the process of playing country music from Nashville, Tennessee to all these folks. Wow. I look out at my audience and I see left, right, and center, and I see the culture wars singing along together in harmony. And seeing that the vision of people doing that makes me know that, well, hell, if we can all get along about a song we all agree is fun and want to drink beer to and sway, why aren't we doing that for the protection and safety of our kids and our communities?
Makes sense, David.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I think that the role of music here is so important, because I think when you're having conversations about something that is incredibly polarizing and incredibly painful, and there are disagreements, the thing you have to look for is what you share in the room. I mean, maybe everyone shares the same emotion of fear or wanting to look out for their families, and where they land when it comes to firearms might be different, but start with what you share. And music is something that so many people share. And I think that's what Ketch was pointing out, that, you know, he looks out at his concerts and everyone is there because they just want to spend a night enjoying Old Crow music. And they might be on different sides of a really hard conversation about guns, but like, let's just use music as to open the door to the conversations that can hopefully, if you spend time being curious, looking at each other in the eyes at a barbecue restaurant or on the third floor of the library in Missoula, like maybe you'll work out some solutions together. And that it's the only way that we can do something about this and move forward together.
I think that's so true. Music and the arts are such a unifying force, and for you all to try to use that as the foundation for this documentary, I think is amazing, and I'm sure it's going to be effective. I've heard that Nashville is one of your stops, right?
Yeah.
Is this the last stop? Is that true?
Yeah, we're finishing up production and you know, coming on the year anniversary of Covenant felt like a really important place to capture the moment and what Nashville has been through over the last year. And then we're going to head into production, and hopefully the film will come out sometime this fall.
Okay. Well, speaking of Nashville, and as you both have said, the conversations have been in a variety of venues across the board. So we have a clip from one of them. So David, can you set up what we are about to hear?
Yeah, this was a few months ago. We, you know, Ketch invited us to come to Nashville and really, you know, try and capture and understand this city. And we were all sitting together at a restaurant in the evening, just talking about our feelings around guns and firearms. And so what you're going to hear here are the voices of Bill Robeson, Miriam Abu-Fazli, Tom Leslie, and Shaka Mitchell. And we should say Tom and Shaka and Bill all identified themselves as gun owners. And as you'll hear, we were just talking.
Okay, let's take a listen.
And I was glad to be here, and I learned a lot. I appreciate everybody's opinion. I've never been opposed to other people's opinion. I've never been opposed to doing things that make sense. So, and I think a lot of gun owners are the same way. They just feel attacked from, you know, and both sides feel attacked. Everyone feels attacked. Why do we have to be like that? Can we not just be adults and have a conversation?
I actually think everyone is open to this conversation. That's been my experience. If you come to them humbly, if you don't center yourself, because I think that this tension is that we are in our own experience only.
I do think we're a deeply traumatized society. And I think, contrary to what the news media or social media might have us all believe, we don't actually hate each other and want to tear out each other's throats. And a community can come together lovingly and talk about these hard issues. I mean, that's pretty clear now.
You know, the best time to plant a tree is, you know, 100 years ago. And the next best time is right now. Like, the best time to have figured out, you know, how to remedy the situation was probably a long time ago. We didn't do that, but let's just start right now.
Wow. You know what really strikes me is that people seem to be not just talking, but listening. And they're not shouting and they're yelling, but did you get the sense that people were listening to each other?
Yeah, very much so. I think that the kind of tribal affiliations sort of like melted away and people just got down to a kind of a core sensibility. And that's really what we were just trying to do. I mean, that was here in Nashville, but we discovered in so many places that that people really could talk, could listen, and could share and learn from each other.
Yes. David?
Yeah, I think those were really the magical moments when you would see two people say, like, wow, we're connecting here. Like, it, you know, some would say I'm not a gun owner and you are. But when I sit down at the dinner table and I think about this conversation and look back, I want to remember that you own a gun because you want to protect your family. And I've decided not to own a gun because I want to protect my family, but we both want to protect our families. Mm-hmm. And we both
have common ground.
Yeah, and none of us want our kids to be exposed to violence and to live in this horrible reality that they're living in today. So can we listen to each other? And I mean, if every conversation started like that, I mean, sure, you're not going to come out with a solution every time, but God, it's such a starting point, and we're missing that right now.
Yes. If you're just tuning in, this is Nashville, and I'm your host, LaTanya Turner. We're talking this hour with people who are motivated to take action after the Covenant School shooting. Today is the one-year anniversary of that tragedy. In the studio with me now are David Green and Ketch Secor, who are making a documentary called Louder Than Guns. Ketch, you are using your music as sort of the foundation for this work. But I'm curious, what was your exposure to mass shooting or any events related to mass shooting before the Covenant tragedy? And how did you initially react after the Covenant shooting?
Well, I'm a Nashville parent, and I'll be participating in the Linking Arms event. In fact, I think we're singing one of the kickoff songs for it.
And we're going to talk about that later in this hour with the organizer, yes.
And I'll be joining with Nashvillians across our beautiful city. And as a parent here, you know, Covenant felt particularly close to home because I started a school called Episcopal School of Nashville, which is a primary school on the east side where I live. So, you know, as soon as I heard this news at 10:17, 1 year ago today, you know, I immediately called our head of school, and as anyone involved in education in Nashville, you know, we are all one.
Yes.
And our hearts were all broken at the same time. And to see my school respond, knowing that other schools all around the city were wrestling with that question of how are we going to tell the kids? Are we going to tell them before the pickup? Are we going to let the parents know first? How's it all going to go? And so I got to my school pickup line that day and just, you know, everyone had been crying all day long. And I know that people across Nashville today are deeply traumatized by what has happened here mm-hmm. to our teachers and to our kids. When the shots rang out at Covenant School, they echoed all across the city in all of our hearts and especially in our children's minds and psyches. And so there's a lot of work to heal that remains.
Can you talk a little bit about, you took a much more noticeable step with the carvings in your musical instrument. Tell us a little bit about that and why you did that.
Well, I thought that it would be, well, we, you know, there are so many different ways to honor this tragedy. And one thing that's been really powerful is the way that the Nashville community has given all of us multiple opportunities to come together. So I'm really appreciative of Safer Voices for Tennessee and so many other organizations who are making community out of this tragedy. And one of them happened at Belmont University. And right before the show, I just thought, oh, I'm gonna carve the names of our brothers and sisters who gave their lives on March 27, 2023 at the Covenant School into my violin. And I thought to myself, God, if I have to keep carving the names of people who died from gun violence, well, I'll run out of room on this instrument and I'll have to carve everything I got up on the wall or underneath the tour bus. And, you know, since that time, we've lost countless members of our community to gun tragedies, as well as recently as probably yesterday. But I think we're all familiar with a terrible shooting that happened of a teenage girl in the Edge Hill neighborhood south of town just a couple of days ago. So somebody's Covenant school shooting tragedy is happening right now, and it'll happen tomorrow and the next day until we as a community and as a society remedy it together.
Well, you know, you all have visited a lot of locations and places where they've experienced this tragedy. So I want to get you to tell us about another moment in the documentary. David, can you tell us about this clip that we're going to listen to?
Yeah, this I think we have the voice of...
Okay.
Yes,
go ahead.
It's Todd Porter. I remember when we were in Kentucky, Ketch was doing a show at the Romp Festival in Owensboro, and he and I were talking about bringing these groups together. And, you know, you thought that people who were in law enforcement would be a really important voice in some of these conversations. And we were so happy. Todd Porter, he's a police sergeant from Bowling Green. He was willing to sit down with a group of maybe a dozen or so of us, a couple band members from Old Crow, you know, a couple people who had been at Ketch's concert and people from the community. We all sat and had barbecue together and just talked about, you know, this really hard topic. And so this is Sergeant Porter.
Let's listen.
I'll just say that, you know, I heard a statistic recently that like 70-something percent of Americans support common sense gun reform and gun regulation. And hearing that statistic, I think, you know, how could that be true? You know, because the people over here are saying, ban everything, confiscate everything, they're really loud. The people over here are saying, I should be able to own a bazooka and you can't stop me from doing anything. They're really loud. But sitting here with everybody here, without us saying what our political ideologies are, who I feel like we all are kind of in agreement that there are things that can and should be done. And that's very encouraging to me.
This is such a heavy download you all are getting. I mean, that's just one example. And of course, unthinkable experiences for communities like these and like ours. At the same time, you have said you're experiencing, I think you said, a long anticipated hopefulness. How do you find hopefulness in this subject matter, especially after hearing all these stories that are so disturbing?
I think it's a voice like that. I mean, and when do you hear that from people who are in politics? It's like our politics today, there is no political benefit for people in politics to be committed to coming together and listening to one another. So many people in elected office will benefit and win elections by being on the extreme and playing to people's fears. And that's their reality. And if that's going to remain the case, then it's everyone else who has to come around this idea of looking each other in the eyes again, being curious, asking questions, not prejudging people. That's what we're feeling. And every time we can have a gathering like that, like at that barbecue restaurant in Owensboro, Kentucky, and normalize conversations like that and make people feel like they're still possible, I think the hope is that over time you take that from one community to the next. And at some point, it's going to start to put pressure on people in politics to start coming around the table again themselves and listening and coming up with real solutions that will protect our kids and protect us from this endless violence. That's the hope. It's not going to be easy, but I hope that every conversation like that is one step.
Well, thank you both for this work. I think it's going to be so impactful and meaningful. I appreciate the time you're putting into it. We have to take a break, but I want to thank you for being here, David Green and Ketch Sakur, documentary makers whose film Louder Than Guns will be released in the fall. And it features an original song, Ketch, that you wrote, right?
That's right.
So we're going to roll out to the music of that song, but anything you could tell us about that song real quick?
Music reunites us, brings us together, helps us heal, but is also a call for action. There's a day of action planned. We'll see you at Centennial Park, linked across the city.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll have the song later. We'll be right back. This is Nashville. I'm LaTanya Turner, and this is Nashville. A year ago, after the Covenant School tragedy, we invited a panel of high school students to This Is Nashville to share what they and their classmates were going through. Today, we invited some of them back to see what's changed and what hasn't. Joining me now is Israel Perez, who is now a senior at Pearl Cone High School, and Sophie Kavalali, who has graduated from University School of Nashville and is now a student at Vanderbilt University. Thanks to both of you, and welcome back to This Is Nashville.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Cool. When you were both here last year, along with some other students, there was a lot of raw emotion. You were talking to Khalil and expressing those sentiments. It had only been a couple of weeks since the Covenant School shooting when you did that interview. Israel, you talked about sadness and anger and distress among you and your classmates. And Sophie, you jumped into activism and protest with other students in your school. So what has the last year been like for each of you? Sophie, why don't you start us off?
The last year, I think, specifically within the month following the Covenant shooting, I feel like my life kind of, in a way, took a turn. Many of my friends were protesting. We were protesting all the time, especially it was the same time as college decisions. And especially thinking about my college decisions, it felt somewhat of a... It made me really choose Vanderbilt to stay in Nashville and to focus on local politics. All the activism I did, specifically with after the Covenant shooting, organizing, advocating, it was so important to me to somewhat stay here and still focus on some of this work.
Can I ask, had you intended to go out of state and that influenced you to stay?
It did. I applied to a lot of schools nowhere else in the South. And then I ended up the day following the Covenant shooting getting into Vanderbilt University. And I'm like, okay, this is such a great school with such a great like political science department, so many things. And It seemed like it was meant to be, especially after organizing and advocating at such like a local level.
Okay. Israel, what about you in the last year?
Really, nothing has changed. It's really been the same as far as
And you're still in high school.
Yeah,
let's just
still
clarify.
In high school,
okay.
So, I'm still trying to finish up. You know, I have two more months, but basically it's crazy. It's been a year almost because I still remember it like it was yesterday and all the sadness in the air, you know. Mm-hmm. But all I could really say is the only thing that's really changed as far as it goes is the security officers at our school. That's really it, the SROs.
Okay, tell me what you mean by that.
They doubled up on them. I think they went from like two every day to almost four or six. You just see, just running through the hallway sometimes. Not running, but like walking through the hallways, you'll see them here and there. Like,
so more of a presence?
Yeah, there's a lot more presence. And then after school, there's probably about like three cop units that I see on a daily.
And is there anything else that's changed down in terms of, changed since then in terms of safety precautions or drills or anything like that?
Actually, there has been. They implemented the system at our school. It was an automatic lockdown system where the doors just shut and you hear a voice saying, lockdown, lockdown, get to somewhere safe, right? And
that didn't exist before?
Did not exist. I think it was like a couple weeks after the Covenant shooting, they started having people coming in the building, doing the electrical wiring in it and like doing all the systems to make it automatic. And so
Have you experienced that in reality?
No, I have not experienced it, but I experienced one of the drills. And let me tell you, it's pretty terrifying when you don't know what's going on because the drills just like it happens out of nowhere. One minute you're walking through the hallway, the next it's a lockdown, whatever. and the door is just shut and you're just like, you don't know what happened. Like, you're just trying to get to your next class.
It's got to be so unsettling. Sophie, you have been politically active before this. You talked last year about having, I think as a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, actually being politically active from a young age and being in a school environment with a lot of activism at the time. So let's assess the politics of all of this over the last year. What is your opinion about how that's gone?
Honestly, I find it pretty disheartening that there hasn't been that much difference in gun regulations and gun control within Tennessee. It felt like I never think that any public display of like protest, I never think that that's like a waste. But it was disheartening the amount of time that people took and to protest and to spend time really thoughtfully putting together petitions to elected officials, and the fact that it feels like it somewhat still was not really heard. And especially thinking about the past year and within Tennessee politics, I do wish that there was greater action taken for gun control and gun regulations, and especially being at a school like Vanderbilt that attracts students from across the nation. What I have found really interesting is that everybody at Vanderbilt has a story with gun violence, something that's happened in their lives. It's all near and dear to everybody's heart, no matter where you're from in the United States. I mean, I was like on my spring break trip talking with one of my friends, and she casually drops that like she was in the Highland Park shooting. Like, I have friends from Texas that were in different shootings, have been in lockdowns. Everybody has a story related to gun violence. It's like a universal, like, it's a United States phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And I, just thinking about it, how normalized it is that we were just able to, like, move on with our lives following this shooting that so deeply affected my community was definitely really disheartening. And the fact that Tennessee lawmakers haven't really fully heard the cries for action.
I'm sure you're not the only one of the students that we met last year who feels that way. Several of the students came out in a powerful way to protest, and we had you two in, as we've said, to talk about the youth reaction, along with four other students. And the rest of them weren't able to get away from school to be here with us today, but they sent us voice memos. Senior Chloe Spangler started Nashville Students for Change after the Covenant shooting to help organize and amplify student voices. She'll be graduating this spring and is hoping the next generation of high schoolers will step up to fill her shoes. And she sent us this message about school shootings.
Everyone knows how awful it is, but it's such a large problem that we don't want to deal with it, so we shove it to the side until it happens again. And then it continues to happen. It's a cycle. And it's honestly sad to see. It's as a student, I want my voice to be heard, but there's only so much that I can do. I mean, I'm preparing for other parts of my future, parts of my life, and I say the same for parents and teachers and other people. They have their life to think about. But the people that put their time and energy into these issues is lawmakers. Their job is to make sure the community feels safe and is a better place. And these people are the exact people who shouldn't be pushing these issues under the rug to be dealt with later. They should be facing the issue firsthand every single day until it's solved. And I think that's what the most important thing is for legislators to understand, is that, yes, we're going to use our voices as the people, but the only people that can actually take action to make schools safer are lawmakers. And I feel we're constantly having to fight them to stand up and do their jobs.
Israel, what do you think about that?
I mean, I agree. I agree with what also Sophie said, too, is the fact that we could just push this to the side and make it seem like, oh, well, just a normal day after, what, a week or two of it. It's pretty sad.
And the idea that no matter what you do, you don't have the power necessarily or the authority to make that change.
No, I mean, all we can really use is our voices. But how often are we going to scream for help when our voices could go out at any moment? Right. And it's just like, how much more do we have to put in?
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is Nashville, and I'm your host, LaTanya Turner. We're talking this hour with people who are motivated to take action after the Covenant School shooting. Today is the one-year anniversary of that tragedy. Right now, we're revisiting with high school students we first met a year ago on this show to talk about gun violence, Israel Perez and Sophie Cavallali. There's been a lot of frustration that no significant legislation has been passed regarding gun safety. You both have talked about that. We want to hear from another of your peers, sophomore student Marley Mello, sent us this message.
And it's really frustrating that our lawmakers are focusing on banning pride flags and gender-affirming care, which banning those things, it like is just going to cause more deaths in the long run and mental issues than it would if you would just make laws in place that makes guns less accessible.
Sophie, as someone who really follows politics and has been politically involved, what are your thoughts about how the focus has shifted to some of these, as people call them, culture wars, and less about gun safety?
I feel like it's just yet again another deflection of the genuine problems. And that's something within Tennessee politics that happens a lot. Something happens and we deflect it with something else or a way to not really address the root cause. And I think that if like specifically Tennessee lawmakers really did actually have genuine care for what happened, they would put in stricter gun regulations. They would increase background checks. They would do things that make guns less accessible and get to the actual root cause of it instead of deflecting it. I just think it's really disgusting how this is handled in the rhetoric that has been used within the past year over this issue.
Is there anything specifically that you've done? At one time, you were on, I believe, the mayor's youth council, correct, Sophie?
Yes.
Has there been anything in the year since that you've specifically and directly done to connect with some of these lawmakers?
I helped advertise for Freddie O'Connell's campaign, working on his campaign for mayor, like within specifically local politics. But I think like within my school time, I spent a lot of time within my first year at Vanderbilt focusing on conversations with my peers, getting involved in student-led organizations, and getting updated on specifically local news and local elections. I think one of the best things that honestly young adults can really do is voting for people that will put stricter gun regulations in, using our voice on the ballot, specifically within Tennessee government. I think that that's really crucial, and seeing the youth turnout on like voter registration, things like that. I wish that that was way higher. I really think that young adults should really be prioritizing their vote on the ballot, organizing, getting involved in political campaigns that care about you and that care about the issues that are dear to you.
Israel, what about that? What about voter registration? And are you of age? Can you?
Yes, vote? I can.
Okay. Tell me what you find among your classmates in terms of their attitude about voter registration and voting.
I'm going to be really honest with you. The school and the background I come from, that's not something that is thrown out there, given an option, or even educated about. I mean, just recently into our senior class, we had people come into our senior class and be like, hey, you're officially 18 or you're going to turn 18 before it's time to vote. You could register to vote. And that was the only time they've only had knowledge of even voting, just a local type of thing.
Is it that there's a lack of awareness, or is there just apathy, feeling of it doesn't matter if I vote?
I think it's both. I think it's both of a lack of just like, hey, this is always an option. And it's also awareness of like, it really doesn't matter, you know. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I felt at some point I was like, yeah, I mean, what is my vote going to do? But that I had to think long. I had to think a lot and be like, all right, this is for this, this, and this, you know, this is for a whole nother cause. But it's just two things at it, because my school is has a very rough background, and they're barely getting back to a good track, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're able to now sit down and look at the statistics and be like, look, we could make something happening if we do this.
Well, I have to say, this is a total aside. You just won like a state championship or something. Was it basketball or football? So, I mean, maybe you can rally around the sports team.
Right.
And register to vote.
Right. We're great at sports. Don't get us wrong. But when it comes to everything else, we're a little rocky on, and we do need improvement at the end of the day. But I mean, our school is doing our best, or the school's doing their best, and I see them. They're trying to rebuild, and they're trying to make it the best they can be.
Okay, you have talked about gun availability. You talked about that a lot last year, and you mentioned having come from LA, a place that has tougher gun laws, but much more availability of guns. And you were very clear that guns are very accessible in places, even here in Nashville, to people your age. Do you feel like that is improving, or has it become even more common?
It's become even more common. It's actually crazy that you mentioned this, because you just see a lot of people with guns that are very young, that are younger than me and Sophie alone, that have guns. And it's just like, you're 13, 12 walking around with a gun. And it's like, you might think this is something made up, but it's actually fiction. It's actually like real. It's actually something that comes from a neighborhood that's in poverty and all that. And it's actually insane. And it's really sad, because I don't agree with it at all. I mean, just growing up around it, and I don't want any other high schooler or middle schooler to be around it either, because it does change your childhood, and it does change the rules of how your life's going to turn out, because you either get gulped in, or you learn to stay away from it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have another clip, another voice memo to share with you. Senior Blessing Nkrumah had this to say to our producer since she was with us last year. Let's
listen. Students are still impacted. At the end of the day, this is not something you can actually recover from, no matter how much therapy or mental things that you go through. I have a friend who has like a neighbor who went to Covenant, and she's always telling me that the girl is not the same. I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten that the kids are still going to school, but they were there to witness what happened. They were there to live in that experience. These were young kids. It's not fair. And me being a young student, I don't want to come back into Tennessee 4 years later seeing the same things happening when my little brother's in school. That's not right.
You can hear the eagerness and the frustration and her eagerness for change, for something to change. Sophie, can you relate to that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, just even thinking about specifically local politics and Tennessee politics, thinking about possibly leaving Tennessee later in the future, and what is going to be my impact within state government, local government. It's a hard feeling somewhat powerless, especially after the Covenant shooting. I think I struggled a lot with the feeling of powerlessness. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel like I necessarily had the power to make specific change, because I was making so many calls to elected representatives, and I was protesting so much, I was organizing so much, and I felt like that led to no genuine political action at the end. And I think you struggle with these feelings of what is Tennessee going to be like in 4 years? Like, how do we move forward from this when there isn't specific action being taken for us to be able to move forward?
That's a big question. I don't know that anybody has a simple answer for it. Israel, what would you like to see? What are your thoughts about the future?
Something being done. I mean, honestly, I feel like we're just going back in time. We're really just trying to ban stuff that just doesn't make sense.
Is there one thing that you would like, if just this one step, it would be a step in the right direction that you would like to see?
Mental evaluation.
Tell me more about that.
Not everyone's capable to do everything that everyone else is able to. It's like everyone are able to drive cars and do all that, right? Some people are not suited for driving cars, or not able to get their license because they have something going on with their mental or something like that, of that nature. That's just a simple example.
And support for people
who might
have challenges,
of course,
is what you're meaning.
Yeah, of course. A bunch of support for them too. But when it comes to guns and stuff like that, anyone can get it off the street, and there's no mental evaluation being checked. There's no support being given. There's nothing. Anybody could go get it with whatever they have going on, whatever type of stuff's going on in their mind, and they could use it to whatever. So I feel like mental evaluation is a very big one.
That's very interesting. Anything you want to add to that, Sophie?
I do agree, but I also think that we should also be increasing. We should have universal background checks. I think that we should be banning assault rifles completely. I don't think anybody should be owning an assault rifle. And I think that we need to really increase gun regulation and gun control within this state. I think it's killing, guns are killing people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have one more message from one of your peers, Junior Ryder Hagee, on his takeaway from the year since the Covenant school shooting. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Speaking personally, I think it's only made me want to prioritize more and focusing how I treat people so that the people who I interact with every day can leave feeling like they have people around them, even if they're just strangers, who care about their well-being. And I hope that people know that the most dangerous thing a kid can be is lonely. So I just want people to prioritize being there for each other and showing up, even if it's someone you wouldn't normally hang out with. I don't think that matters whatsoever. I think it matters that we build something at school that's bigger than ourselves. Like, that's not just for some people and not others. So that's what this entire thing has taught me, is that we need to be there for each other more than ever.
And that was Ryder Hagee. Israel, you kind of touched on this a few minutes ago, but what are your thoughts about being there for other students, other people?
I mean, I totally agree with it. I'm all about bringing people together. I mentioned out there that I do want to go into culinary school, and the reason why I want to go into culinary school is because I feel like food, music, and TV shows bring people together. And so I'm all about bringing students together as well, because I know what it's like being a senior. Freshman year was our COVID year, and we being, all of us being separated and having a hard time, and then going to now having the Covenant shooting happening and all that, and everyone feeling disconnected and students not feeling heard and stuff like that. I feel like we could do something and bring us all together, even if it's just positivity. It doesn't have to be all negativity.
I hope you're right. Sophie, just a few minutes. Do you want to add something to that? Or a few seconds, I should say.
I agree. I think also, I mean, specifically even in the face of the Covenant shooting and speaking about the 1 year, I think today, Linking Arms for Change, I'm sure you'll hear about it later, I'm pretty sure, from the next segment.
Yes.
But Linking Arms for Change and just peaceful demonstrations to show solidarity with Covenant, following the 1 year, building community based and trying to recover as a community.
Well, thank you both, Sophie and Israel. You are certainly setting a model for the rest of us. And, you know, I encourage you to stay the course. And I wish you well. Israel, you'll be graduating, I guess, in a couple of months.
Yes, excited.
So, and going to culinary school. So maybe we'll be dining in your restaurant someday.
Hopefully.
Okay, we have to take a short break. Join the conversation by tweeting us at This Is Nashville. When we come back, our guest will be a mom and leader of a nonprofit organization that advocates for common sense gun laws. Stay with us. I'm LaTanya Turner, and this is Nashville. We've been hearing from young people who were high school students last year at the time of the Covenant school shooting. We reconnected with them to get updates on their lives and thoughts about the anniversary. Joining us now is Nicole Floyd Smith. Nicole is a co-founder of Voices for a Safer Tennessee, a nonprofit, nonpartisan statewide coalition dedicated to prioritizing firearm safety and advocating for common sense gun laws. Welcome, Nicole, to This Is Nashville.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here with you all today.
And this is certainly a hard day for many people, and it's a busy day for you because your organization has some big plans for tonight that our previous guests have talked about, the Linking Arms for Change event in observance of the anniversary of the Covenant school shooting. Tell us about that event.
Absolutely. You're right that today is a really hard day for so many people, for those who lost loved ones on this day last year, for those survivors, the children and families who were impacted, and really for our entire community. It has sent a ripple effect into our community, and we really have all found ourselves grieving with those who lost loved ones. And so at Voices for a Safer Tennessee, we really wanted to honor the lives that were lost that day, to support those survivors, the children and families, to lift them up, and to offer an opportunity to gather together as a community to continue our collective healing. So Linking Arms for Change is an opportunity to do that. We are going to gather today at 5 p.m. and form a human chain that's about 3.5 miles long. We're going to start at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, which is unfortunately where many victims of firearm violence are taken. And then we are going to extend all the way to the state capitol. We expect thousands of people to join us today to really remember and honor the victims and survivors, and also all of those Tennesseans who have lost their lives to firearm tragedies. In fact, we've lost more than 1,300 Tennesseans since this time last year. So it's an opportunity to show that we still stand together in solidarity and hope for change.
It had to be moving to you to hear our previous guests in both segments say that they were aware of the event and planning to join. Do you feel like, and you did something similar last year, do you feel like it's making an impact?
I do. I think it's making a difference. I remember when we did this event last year, it was just, the idea for it was really born just days after the Covenant School tragedy. And we gathered and did a human chain, very similar route, just weeks after the Covenant School tragedy. And I remember in the time between the shooting and when we had the first event, hearing from people of all different walks of life, men, women, Republicans, Democrats, faith leaders, business leaders, moms, dads, gun owners, non-gun owners, and everyone in between, that this was something we could all agree on, that we all want a safer Tennessee for our children, for our families, and all of our communities. And so I had started having these conversations. All of us who kind of came together to found the organization were having these conversations. But the event we had in mid-April was the first time I saw it, truly saw it with my own eyes. And it brought me to tears to see thousands. We had more than 10,000 people of all different walks of life come together and say, we can agree on this. We might not agree on everything, but we can agree on this. And it really resonated to me to hear Ketch and David talk about their documentary and all the conversations that they have had, to hear from the students and how this has impacted their lives. Because there's a theme that through conversation, we can find common ground. And we linked arms last year, and we're doing it again this year to show that support continues to grow for firearm safety, for pragmatic solutions, and support is unwavering. You know, change is not happening as quickly as any of us would like. I always tell people, I wish that I could just take a magic wand and it would all happen, you know, in an instant, but that's not the way our systems work. Unfortunately, change is going to be longer than any of us would like on this issue. But I tell people that I think of advocacy like a marathon rather than a sprint. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep at it. We're going to keep going. We're going to be in it for the long haul.
Yes. And I'm sure that you were very inspired to hear the young people who just joined us speaking to that as well. And we just have a few more seconds. So give us some details about tonight for people who might want to participate before we wrap the show.
Absolutely. There is still more than enough room for you to join us. Please go to safer.com. tn.org, where you can register to join us. We'll have a short program that will be live streamed where Ketch Secor, Blessing Offer, Grace Bowers, and others will join us along with faith leaders reflecting on this day and the lives lost.
And, so and we, real quick, Nicole, can people join at any point along the chain?
Yes, if you register right now or in the hours that follow, we will send you an email that will give you some suggested locations. Okay. But at the end of the day, just show up.
All right. Thank you very much, Nicole, for joining us. And that's our show for today. We're rolling out to Ketch Secor's song that we mentioned earlier in the broadcast. It has the same name as the documentary, Louder Than Guns. Thanks to our guest, David Green, and Ketch Secor, the creators of the documentary that's due for release this fall, and students Sophie Kavalali, Israel Perez, as well as the students who recorded comments for this program, Ryder Hage, Marley Mello, Chloe Spangler, and Blessing Nkrumah. Thanks for tuning in this hour. This is Nashville is a production of Nashville Public Radio. Today's episode was produced by Magnolia McKay. It was directed by Tasha A.F. Limley. Our board operator is Liv Lombardi. The masterminds behind our theme music are LaRange and Namir Blade. Special thanks to Mark Drury. Listen back at thisisnashville.org or wherever you get your podcasts. The conversation doesn't end here. Tweet us at This Is Nashville. Find us on Instagram and tell us what you want from our show by filling out the quick survey online. This is Nashville. I'm LaTanya Turner. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. And as Khalil would say, be good to each other.